Thank you. Thank you for being here today. What a wonderful crowd we have. I tell you, this is wonderful. Band sounds real good. We did all through rehearsal, and everything seemed to come together also up here. You never know what you're going to get. You never know what to expect. And there's a little ring up here, by the way. I don't know if it's too loud or what, but I hear it ringing throughout. So anyway, I'll just keep talking while they work on that. I tell you, Daryl Johnston, one of the greatest football players of all time. Daryl Johnston, I'm telling you, he had a way of taking that football and running and scoring touchdowns. Daryl Johnston, he had a way of embracing fans, and fans just loved him and adored him even to this day. And Daryl Johnston, and y'all know who Daryl Johnston is? I heard one. The Moose. Daryl the Moose Johnston. Anybody ever heard of Emmett Smith?
Oh, yeah.
You've heard of Daryl Johnston. Daryl Johnston blocked for Emmett Smith. Upon Emmett Smith's nomination and induction into the Hall of Fame, of all the people that ever influenced him, of all the people that ever helped him, of all the people that were in the audience, and there were thousands, who did he single out? Who brought him to tears? Who he knew deep in his heart he would not be there without? Daryl Johnston, the Moose, Dallas Cowboys, fullback, tight end fullback. He kind of did both, and he was a fascinating athlete. He gave of himself every time he got on the field. He gave up his body so that somebody else could shine. He gave up himself so that somebody else would look good. He gave up himself, and there was the other somebody else getting all the accolades, in the position of prominence, being inducted into the Pro Football Hall of Fame. You ever had anybody like that in your life? Like Emmett Smith, he was good. As long as there was a Dale Johnston blocking for him. You know, Emmett went on and played for the Arizona Cardinals. Daryl didn't. Emmett never put up the numbers like he did when he had somebody there doing the dirty work, doing the hard labor for him. You know, as I read through in 2 Chronicles, and we're kind of working our way through these game changers. Yeah, like Emmett Smith, he was a definite game changer. I remember when he was at University of Florida, one of the first Auburn football, and I went to Auburn. One of the first Auburn football games my daddy ever took me to was to watch University of Florida play Auburn at Auburn. And they had this freshman named Emmett Smith. Who would have thunk it that he run over 200 yards on my Auburn Tigers that day? He forever etched himself in my brain. I will always know who Emmett Smith is. We read through 2 Chronicles. We find some true game changers. We've really been developing this theme as we go along. There were the kings in the southern kingdom of Judah, that is, there at Jerusalem and parts surrounding there. There were kings who did evil in the eyes of the Lord. I mean, let's start. You had King Saul, then you had King David, and I'm not saying they did evil. Then you had Solomon, and then after Solomon, everything went crazy. It's like a church split. The northern kingdom got mad at the southern kingdom. There was a grab and a fight for power. They did their thing. They did their thing. And so where we're at in 2 Chronicles really focuses on the southern kingdom, the kingdom of Judah, and the kings of Judah that ascended to the throne, either and most likely always through family ties, through lineage, bloodlines. And so we read all throughout 2 Chronicles, and you can go ahead and put up that little graphic or the table. On the far left over here, these are the ones who did evil or were disobedient in the eyes of God. That's the way the Bible describes them. By the way, how is the Bible going to describe you in your life one day? Well, these on the left, Rehoboam, Jeroboam, Ahaziah, Ahaz, Manasseh, Ammon, Jehoiakim, Jehoiakim, and Zedekiah, read in there, 2 Chronicles, they did evil in the eyes of the Lord or in the sight of the Lord. And really what that meant was they abandoned God and the temple altogether. They had wanted nothing to do with temple worship or church things or whatever. They lived a life for themselves to try to gain power, to try to gain money, to try to gain prominence, to try to gain land, to try to conquer, all without God. They were doing it on their own terms. Well, there's a bunch of those. In the middle column, you have these kings that ascended to the throne. And the Bible describes them as being either good or right. And what's interesting about this is the Hebrew, and I didn't put the Hebrew up, so don't worry about the slide there. But the Hebrew word for good is the word tov. We would transliterate it T-O-B, but in the Hebrew, it's almost like a V sound, tov. Hey, when God made His creation, He saw that it was good, tov. It's something beautiful to God. So we have certain kings that ascended to the throne that were good, that did good in the eyes of the Lord. That's what the Bible said. And yet there were certain ones, they're not evil. There were certain ones, though, that ascended to the throne and they reigned and they did what was right. Not what was good, but what was right. Yeah, I don't know about you, but when you study your Bible, when you read your Bible, pick up on stuff like that. Really, we oftentimes try to read the Bible in a year and we gloss over all the stuff that could really influence and change us. I'm not a fan of trying to read through the Bible in the year. I'm a fan of reading through the Bible and letting it sink in and make a difference in your life. So you have certain kings that were good, tov, and then you have certain kings that are right. The Hebrew word is yashar. And it means upright. It means living a very upright lifestyle. Brother Pat and I, your eyes are on us. We need to be living right before God. You need to be living right before God. And what we'll find is these kings, that they weren't described as living good. They were described as living right. What does that mean? Really, the focus was on themselves. If Pat and I were just concerned about our appearance before you and how you perceived us, then we'd be living right in the eyes of God. But if we want to step out and be good in the eyes of God, then we'll take the focus off of us and start putting the focus on you. And so we have certain kings that were good, but not right. We have certain kings that were right, but not good. And don't let it get confusing. There were three of all these kings. There were three who did what was good and right in the eyes of the Lord. I'm not making this up. It's there in Scripture. They did what was good and right. In other words, they lived such a good and upright and chaste lifestyle that their lifestyle alone influenced the people around them. Yet they would not even stop there. They would take what God wanted them to do, the message God wanted them to speak, the life God wanted them to live, and they wouldn't keep it in their house. They would not just keep it in their dwelling or their palace. They took it to the world to try to change the world. Game changers. And so the first week we looked at King Asa, King Asa, really King Asa as I'll say it in the southern vernacular that we speak over here. King Asa, he did what was good and right in the eyes of the Lord. Then last week we were on Jehoshaphat, and we talked about him being, I believe he did what was right in the eyes of the Lord. I can't remember now. That was last week. I've moved on now. Now we come to Joash. Joash. In the 2 Chronicles chapter 24, I'll read it to you right from the Bible. Hey, y'all, if you have a copy of God's Word, open it up and follow along. If not, listen real carefully, because never forget, these are the words of God. In the 2 Chronicles chapter 24, Joash was 7 years old when he became king. What were you doing at seven? 7 years old when he became king, and he reigned in Jerusalem 40 years. God blessed him with a wonderful reign. His mother's name was Ziblah, and she was from Beersheba. Joash did what was right. He did what was right in the eyes of the Lord all the years of Jehoiada the priest. He did what was right in the eyes of the Lord only as long as Jehoiada was there. You see, in chapter 24, the Bible goes ahead and sets the stage. Joash did what was right in the eyes of the Lord as long as somebody was looking over him. As long as somebody was there to guide him, as long as there was a Daryl Johnston there blocking for him, he could be the superstar. He could be the one who did what was right in the eyes of the Lord. He could get all the accolades. He could have all the prominence. But when Jehoiada died, who has influenced you spiritually? Mama, daddy, brother, sister, spouse, cousin. Maybe it was a preacher that you had that just, he spoke the truth in love and would never let you get away with anything. He always held you accountable. Maybe it was a Sunday school teacher. Maybe those of us who grew up in traditional Baptist churches, maybe it was an RA leader, a youth group leader. Maybe it was the choir leader, whoever it may be. Who has influenced you spiritually? And are you still living today like you were called to live then? Are you still carrying the banner high the way that they made sure you carried the banner high then? You know, I think one of the most interesting things about Daryl Johnston is he was totally overlooked, yet he was the one who was opening the holes for Emmett Smith. When Emmett Smith did not have Daryl Johnston there, Emmett Smith's career lasted 3 years after that. Never again to attain to that same game-changing level. Wow. We find ourselves in 2 Chronicles chapter 24, and notice first and foremost as we go through this, Joash, yes, he was 7 years old when he became king, and in verse 2, he did what was right in the eyes of the Lord. That means he lived a very upright and chaste lifestyle. Look at it that way. He said he did what was right in the eyes of the Lord all the years of Jehoiada the priest. It says Jehoiada chose two wives for him, and he had sons and daughters. So Joash wasn't even good at making his own decisions. And sometime later, Joash decided to restore the temple of God. These are good things. He called together the priests and the Levites, and he said to them, he said, go to the towns of Judah and collect the money due annually from all Israel to repair the temple of God. Do it now. But the Levites did not act at once. And then in verse 6, therefore the king summoned Jehoiada the chief priest and said to him, why haven't you required the Levites to bring in from Judah and Jerusalem the tax imposed by Moses and the servant of the Lord and by the assembly of Israel for the tent of the testimony? There's a lot in that, but I won't even get into it right now. See, a game changer. A true game changer will be humbly led. You see that in Joash's life? Jehoiada? Joash humbly followed the leadership of Jehoiada. Joash, under the leadership of Jehoiada, was known as doing what was right in the eyes of the Lord. Joash, who was so young and so impressionable, needed somebody to influence him, somebody to lead him, somebody to guide him. Mamas and daddies. That he needed Jehoiada in his life, the chief priest, and he followed him, and he lived a very upright and a chaste lifestyle in front of the Lord, and God recognized it all the years of Jehoiada's life. A game changer will humbly be led, but also recognizes the need and the time to take the lead. Where are you at in your spiritual walk? In your journey? I know you're at church today, and that's a good thing. You know, I've joked about it often. I've been in church since 9 months before I was born. I've been in church. I have done church my whole life. I have been in traditional churches. I have been in churches that were non-denominational. I've been in other denominations of churches. I've been in, you know, I've been in church that meets in a bar. But at some point in time, God has to be bigger than just my mom and daddy's God. Jesus just has to be more than just a name on the paper. Being saved has to be more than just a box I check at my local church. Being a Christian has to be more than just coming here. Every Sunday. It's important. I love you. I want you here. It has to be more. And you could say that you live a very good or a very right life as long as Pat and Sean are leading. God calls you to lead. God calls you to take the lead. God calls you to be a game changer, a true game changer, more than one that could just be identified as being somebody good in the eyes of God, more than somebody that could just be doing what is right in the eyes of God, but to roll it all up and to be that game-changing entity that influences generations for years to come and yet also goes outside these church walls, the four walls of your home. Joash did what was right in the eyes of the Lord all the years of Jehoiada. Let me ask you this. You sense God telling you it's time to quit following and start leading? You sense God calling you to be more than just a church member? I remember a time. I do, and it was a very confusing time with me. It was kind of upsetting to myself. You know, I told you, I've been in church all my life. I've done church my whole life, and I say it just that way. I was there. Sunday morning, Sunday evening, Wednesday night, I was there. Sang in the youth choir, I was there. And I'm sure that mostly I did what was right in the eyes of the Lord. But I remember a time, Florence and I were married. I'd been out of church for some time, started coming back. She made me. And I really just started to sense deep within my spirit God saying and calling me, I don't need another church member. I need you to do more. I don't need somebody to wear a Christian shirt. I need somebody that's going to do more. I remember meeting with my pastor at the time. I was confused. He knew it. And I said, I don't know what's going on, but I'm not satisfied. I'm coming to church every time the doors open. I'm as straight as a gun barrel and dry as gunpowder. I feel completely unused, unsatisfied. My pastor at the time had been in the ministry a little over 30 years. He said, well, I know what's going on. I said, what? Oh, dear, what? I can't sleep at night. What? He said, I'm pretty sure God's calling you to do something in the ministry. Now, he doesn't call us all to do this. Just like he doesn't call me to sing. He doesn't call me. I'm not a hugger. We talked about that this morning. I don't know, the gift of just hugging on people, loving on people. He's got it. I don't have it. But God has put us together because He knew I needed Him. When I read that, I think of me. Oh, I had lived a life where I had been the good boy until the time where I needed to be the strong man, strong leader for God. And I guess the invitation is just that. Everyone here today, God is calling you to do for His kingdom. It is the difference between being good, doing good, and doing good and right. It is the difference between Emmett Smith without the moose and Emmett Smith with the moose. It's the difference between telling everybody that you're a member out here at the Orchard in Live Oak and taking it one step further and starting to collect money to send missionaries off, starting to try to grow the church, starting to dive deeply into Scripture and share that with others. Hey, God really spoke to me today. You want to hear that? Joash did what was good, or excuse me, he did what was right in the eyes of the Lord all the days or the years of Jehoiada the priest. How would you define your Christian life? Is it kind of like that? Mom and Daddy were real good Christians, and I followed along suit, but now since I've been on my own, I have gone my own way, done my own thing, but I'm telling you, God's got you here now. And He wants you to be more and be used in His kingdom. We skip on down to verse 17. It kind of skips a little bit. I don't want to go into all of the repairs and reforms just a second. We'll get down to verse 17. And in my Bible, in verse 17, believe it or not, it says, it's titled, "The Wickedness of Joash." Wow. Well, I thought he did what was right in the eyes of the Lord. He did all the years of Jehoiada. If you back up in verse 15 of chapter 24, 2 Chronicles, it says, "Now Jehoiada was old and full of years, and he died at the age of 130. That's pretty good. He was buried with the kings, although he wasn't a king. He was buried with the kings in the city of David because of the good he had done in Israel for God and God's temple." I'd like that to be read when I die. Oh, Brother Sean. Oh, he was a good preacher as long as Eddie Blaylock was over there looking over his shoulder. Hey, amen. That's being recorded, and Eddie's going to watch that later. Or it says, "Oh, Brother Sean, he was buried with the kings in the city of David because of the good he had done for Israel, in Israel for God in his temple." In verse 17, a game changer. Must think of the next generation, not solely focused on the here and now. Joash was real interested in being right, living upright, as long as Jehoiada was there. And I would imagine, as a king comes to the throne at 7 years old, Jehoiada was there cracking the whip, thumping the ear. Y'all don't do that. But as Joash grew older, Jehoiada eventually died. The title changes. It says in verse 17, "After the death of Jehoiada, the officials of Judah," politicians, "came and paid homage to the king, Joash, and Joash listened to them." The one point where he no longer had that spiritual compass, he no longer had that one person directing him what to do right in the eyes of the Lord. He turned and he went the other way. Joash decided to listen to the world and to listen to political favor instead of listening to God. Joash decided to put his faith in what was popular for the day instead of what is holy for all time. Joash, in the absence of that spiritual mentor, was unprepared to lead a nation for God. And yet God, the Bible describes Joash as somebody who was right in the eyes of the Lord. A game changer must think of the next generation and not solely focus on the here and the now. Verses 17 through 19. And it says, "After the death of Jehoiada, the officials of Judah," the politicians, "came. They paid homage to the king. They tickled his ears." That's just what he wanted to hear. He listened to them. And it says in verse 18, "They abandoned the temple of the Lord, the God of their fathers, and they worshipped Asherah poles and idols. Because of their guilt, God's anger came upon Judah and Jerusalem. And although the Lord sent prophets to the people to bring them back to him, and though they testified," that is the prophets, "testified against them, the people, Joash, his advisors, and the people of Judah, the southern kingdom, they would not listen to God. They would not listen to the man of God speaking the word of God." In verse 20, "Then the Spirit of God came upon Zechariah, son of Jehoiada the priest, and he stood before the people, and he said, 'This is what God says. Why do you disobey the Lord's commands? You will not prosper because you have forsaken the Lord. He will now," or "he has forsaken you.' But Joash and his rulers, they plotted against Zechariah. And by order of the king, they stoned him to death in the courtyard of the Lord's temple." Wow. He at one point was right in the eyes of the Lord. And now after the death of one person, a spiritual mentor, maybe whoever it is that had kind of forced you into that living such a right life just because they wanted to, now given the opportunity of freedom, Joash turns and he goes and he's an absolute abomination to God. Not a game changer. Not in the positive sense. It says that he abandoned the temple of God and he reinstated Asherah poles and worship of the Baals. I'll just lay this out for you. Asherah was a goddess of fertility. Asherah was the way to bridge the gap between sex and religion. And if it were in the name of Asherah, it was okay. And it absolutely went crazy. I think of the day that we live in. And I think of the church, and I think of internet pornography. And I think of, because of the, quote, private nature of the pornography, it is not just, and I don't think, I know, it has just infiltrated even the church. The temple is being abandoned. Asherah is running rampant. And God stands ready to judge. He doesn't need another church member. He needs somebody that will drive the Asherah out of the land, out of the church. He needs somebody to rise up and be a game changer. Must think of the next generation and not solely focus on the here and the now. Well, I'll tell you what the here and the now was. Eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow you shall die. That was essentially the philosophy of the day. And they were even doing this in the name of religion. And starting in verse 20, move on to the next slide. See, a true game changer is not like Joash. Joash started doing what was right in the eyes of the Lord. And we found out that, well, he was doing that because Jehoiada was there holding his hand. But when it come time to take a stand for God and do something bigger and better, to actually lead people to God, to be more than just an inhabitant of the temple, but to go out and to spread the love and the word of God, he failed miserably. He listened to the world. The world told him what he wanted to hear. It said they paid homage to him as king. And he fell right in. Verse 20 says, the Spirit of God came upon Zechariah, the son of Jehoiada. I've already read that. He said, this is what the Lord says. He went to him. He says, why do you disobey the Lord's commands? You will not prosper because you have forsaken the Lord. He has forsaken you. But in verse 21, they plotted against Zechariah the prophet, and by order of the king, they stoned him to death. Verse 22, King Joash did not remember the kindness Zechariah's father Jehoiada had shown him, but he killed his son, who said as he lay dying, may the Lord see this and call you to account. And at the turn of the year, the army of Aram, an enemy, marched against Joash. It invaded Judah, the southern kingdom, and Jerusalem, and it killed all the leaders of the people. They sent all the plunder to their king in Damascus. And although the Aramean army had come with only a few men, get this, the Lord delivered into their hands a much larger army. Small army came, defeated Joash and his large army. You know, the one that he had worked hard to build. And it says, the Lord delivered, let this be. Because Judah had forsaken the Lord, the God of their fathers, judgment was executed on Joash. And when the Arameans withdrew, they left Joash severely wounded. His officials, the ones that came and tickled his ear, the ones that were of this world that said, oh man, we can have a good time now. They conspired against him for murdering the son of Jehoiada the priest, and they killed him in his bed. So he died and was buried in the city of David, but not in the tombs of the kings. Game changer runs the entire marathon. Your life. I'm a runner. I've never done a marathon. I'd like to. It's on my bucket list. Too many people, too many church members, too many that are just doing what is right for now because mom and daddy said, or because your husband or wife said. Too many people train too little. You know, it'd be a good idea to run a marathon. You just don't put in the work. I assure you this. Most people don't fall out from their bed and slumber and go run 26.2 miles without hurting, stopping, or dying. A game changer will run the entire marathon, not just as long as mom and daddy and their legacy are still alive. Too many people train too little. Not enough time immersed in the Word of God. Because when the world comes knocking, this is your defense. It's your sword, like a two-edged sword. The Bible says it cuts and it divides and it just exposes truth. Too many people are satisfied with simply entering the race. Like Joash, 7 years old. Live a right life, as long as Jehoiada was there. Too many people would rather just apply a decal to their car window rather than, the Bible says, run without fail. You can always spot a marathon runner. 26.2 decal on the back of their vehicle. Or somebody doing this. It looks like this. I've often thought about it. Why didn't I just put the decal on the window? It's easier than training for a marathon. And as far as you would know, you'd think I did. You know, I think that's really where we're at in the church today. As far as this world knows, you're in church. But we're training too little. We're simply satisfied with entering the race. And we're much more concerned about how people see us than how we really are. Ouch. Joash. Would I label him as a true game changer? Nah. But he did what was right in the eyes of the Lord for a period of time. My question to you is this, because I know me, I know me. I did what was right in the eyes of the Lord as long as my mom and daddy took me to church. And given the opportunity and the freedom, the choice, I wasn't near as right as I thought I was. And then God spoke to me. And it wasn't an audible voice, but it was an uneasiness and a restlessness within my heart, within my spirit, within my soul, where I just knew I could play the part of a church member, but he would not let me do that. You know, I pray often, especially if I know people are wrestling with these big decisions in their life about spiritual matters, these matters of faith. I will pray to God that you won't get any sleep, that you won't have any peace until you come in honest terms with the fact that God's calling you to be more than you are right now. I know some very miserable Christians that have learned to live with that restlessness in their life. Not act upon it. Just learn to live with it. I have some kin folks. One in particular that as he was a young man, God really had his heart. And he sensed God calling him to Africa to go on mission. He let some others talk him out of it. He's now over 50 years old, never gone to Africa on a mission trip. He is one restless individual. He'll work at a place 5 or 6 years and then go find something else to do. He has several different degrees from college just because nothing really satisfied. I know why. I know why. Let me tell you something. This is very serious. Some of you can hide it very well. I sure did for a long time. God calls you to be more than what you are comfortable being. He wants a true game changer. He wants a congregation of game changers here. You didn't even know who Daryl Johnston was, except one or two of you. Yet he was the true game changer. One person got all the accolades, one person got all the glory, one person got all the recognition, yet that one person could not have excelled without somebody working, doing, giving of themselves till it hurt. And maybe that's just what God's calling us to do. I can't sing. I have an underdeveloped sense of rhythm. I lack the what Pat has. But I'm not supposed to be like the rest of you. And you're not supposed to be like me. God calls us to go and do and be who we are and be for His kingdom and win people for this, for our Lord. And it's really that simple. Lord, I thank You for this day, and I thank You for this time that we can share together. And I thank You for such a powerful word in chapter 24 of 2 Chronicles. I thank You for the example of Joash, who was not perfect. Thank You, Lord, for showing me I don't have to be perfect. I just have to set my heart on You. Thank You, Lord, for calling me and convicting me and moving me. And I pray that, Lord, that You would do the same for everybody here this morning. That You have called us to something greater, that we would respond. Lord, we give this time a response to You. Bless it, anoint it, it is Yours. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.